We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Love hearing my man Ryan Day talk.
Oh, he's your man.
One of my favorite Ohio State coaches ever.
There haven't been that many.
Love Woody Hayes. I love Jim Tressel. And I love Ryan Day. The rest, I can take him or leave him.
You don't like Earl Bruce?
We'll throw him in there too. Speaking of Bruce, Bruce Hooley is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bruce, how you been, man? What's going on?
I'm great, guys. How are you guys doing? Always great to be on with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us, especially with this big game. But to you, I'm curious, from your perspective, does the fact that Wisconsin had such a disappointing loss last week take some of the steam out of this matchup for you?
Absolutely it does. And it's also beyond that. It's Wisconsin scoring one offensive touchdown against Northwestern. A top 30 defense, but one that Ohio State just absolutely eviscerated. And, you know, the matchup, J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor. If you look at Jonathan Taylor yards per carry against Northwestern and against Michigan State, it's clear that Ohio State has a much better rushing offense. I mean, they're putting out 50 yards per game more than Wisconsin's rushing attack. And you would think with Wisconsin's legacy of, you know, big offensive lines and great tailbacks, and nobody in college football can match Wisconsin's tailback legacy over the past 20 years – but still, this year, Ohio State's by far the better rushing team. So people who are nervous about it raining tomorrow and making it a rushing game, I mean, Wisconsin ought to be the team that's nervous about that.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, but the Buckeyes have just been dominant with J.K. Dobbins on the ground and at home. What's the biggest difference for you, Bruce, with this team compared to Urban last year?
Culturally, Monday through Friday, I think there's a difference in how guys play, why guys play hard. In Urban's, you know, culture, you played hard to get to the NFL on Sunday, and every day was a proving ground where your scholarship was on the line, not literally, but figuratively. He's the guy who challenges you every single day. Ryan gets his guys to play hard because they love him. And, you know, whenever I go into this area, people think I'm being critical of Urban. And how could you be critical of a guy who won never fewer than 11 games and never lost more than two games in seven seasons and never lost to Michigan and won a national championship? It's not meant at all as a criticism. They're just different leadership styles. And when people ask me the question, I assume they want an answer.
Sure.
So I give them the answer that I observe. And when you hear Ryan talk, you know, Ryan has clearly been influenced in his career by some very perceptive leaders. And I'm sure Urban was one of those, but one of the things that Ryan said early in the year that really resonated with me was that he wants to make corrections without creating resentment. And I asked him about that because I said that typically has not been a high priority for football coaches. And I can flat out guarantee you it was not a high priority for Urban to worry about whether he created resentment or not. It's not a priority, I don't think, for Nick Saban. And those guys are great and would be on the Mount Rushmore of coaches. But Ryan has the different approach that you would expect of a guy who's 15 years younger than Urban Meyer. He really knows how to relate to players, and they play their tails off for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different philosophies, right? And that's fine. And both guys, you know, Urban had obviously a great success. I understand what you're saying, why people would take that as an insult, even though you're saying it was done a different way. But it's clear from the outside, and you're around these guys a lot more than we are. You know, I'm not around these guys at all. We had Ryan Day on, though, and he comes off as much more likable. It seems it's pretty obvious.
I think the challenge for Ryan in maintaining the program, a lot of people expected it to be this year. You know, oh, he's a new coach, and oh, he's got a new quarterback and all that. Well, he inherited a monster roster, and that's due to Urban.
Sure.
So the challenge for Ryan will be, and I think, Dustin, you've observed this in past eras at Ohio State, where you have great players and you're winning, and then you recruit new players behind them, and you keep winning. And then those new guys who came in didn't build it. They just sort of assume that I'm at Ohio State and we're going to throw our helmets out there and we're going to win. And the culture can diminish a bit. The attention to detail can diminish a little bit. You can start to think it's automatic, and it's never automatic. So I think for Ryan, the challenge of maintaining this will come 3, 4, 5 years in, if he's here that long, because he's going to be in demand with the NFL. Nobody knows what's in his mind, because while he is pretty open and answers questions, he doesn't reveal a lot about that side of his career objectives. So I think, you know, if you want to do a referendum on has Ohio State successfully replaced Urban Meyer, I'm not sure that's a question you can answer definitively after 2019 or even after 2020. It might be a question you can answer more precisely in 2021 and 2022.
Bruce, how did this team get so much better in 1 year defensively?
You know, Dustin, it is a question that I am sure you are much more qualified to answer than I am, because the thing that I said last year was that Greg Schiano didn't get stupid overnight.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just can't fathom that everything last year was, you know, Greg Schiano forgetting how to coach defense. I mean, but they clearly were employing a scheme last year that did not put these almost exact same players into a position to do what they're doing now. And, you know, we can trace the evolution of this back to the Orange Bowl against Clemson in Urban's second season, when Sammy Watkins caught 16 passes and was getting 10, 12 free yards on the edge every play. And Urban said, "We're never playing zone. That's not happening anymore. We're going to play press man." So last year they played press man, and their backs to the ball all the time on defense, and they got gashed on big plays when guys broke the front defensive front or got past the linebackers. This year they're playing mostly zone. They flood every zone with two and three guys. I think you can't talk about this defense's transformation without talking about Jeff Hafley and Greg Madison. And it's really just Ryan Day had some standards. He said, "I want to play four down linemen. I want to take advantage of having Larry Johnson and having the depth we have up front. But I want to play zone and dare teams to go 10 plays on me. I don't want to give them 60 and 70 yards in chunks." And it's going to be pretty hard for teams in the Big Ten to do that. This team will get tested in the playoff. In my opinion, it won't be tested until then.
We're talking with Bruce Hooley, Buckeye Maven, Spielman Hooley podcast. We'll get to that. Bruce, Justin Fields, obviously, you said they're not going to be tested until the playoffs. Obviously, he's been fantastic so far this year. The numbers are mind-blowing. Are you confident he will be just as good when he plays the other elite competition down the line?
If you're talking about the playoff, I would have to say no, and I don't mean that because I don't believe in him. I just think you never know till you know. Let's go back to last week at Wisconsin and Illinois. Jack Cohn is 10 for 10 on third down against the Illini. Then he's got third and five, and that's the one he has to complete to win the game. And it's different. It's just different. So when you're playing Clemson, when you're playing Bama, when you're playing LSU, when you're playing Oklahoma, Justin Fields will not face all season long, in my opinion, a fourth quarter play on the road in a hostile environment where he has to make a play to win the game. People can say Michigan. I don't expect the Michigan game to be close in the fourth quarter. It's not going to be at Rutgers. It wasn't at Nebraska. It wasn't at Indiana. So, and on a neutral field, it's different. Ohio State's never really neutral anywhere. They take their fans, you know, everywhere.
Right.
So it's never worse than 50-50. But Justin Fields has been extremely impressive. I think his one concern that I would have about him, and it could show up tomorrow because Wisconsin's pass rush is really good. He hasn't played a lot of 3-4 defenses. That's what they play. And he does tend to hold on to the ball a little bit too long sometimes because he's such a wonderful scrambler and he can make things happen. And that sometimes, as Ryan Day said earlier in the year, his favorite player are the ones where Justin Fields just throws it away and gives him a chance to win on the next down.
We're talking with Bruce Hooley. Bruce, you know, Michigan is, it seems like every week when they don't beat a big team with Harbaugh, now they play Notre Dame this Saturday night, and it's a big one. It's at home. Like, if they don't win this game, is this a game that could break the camel's back or whatever, and they'd fire Harbaugh? Or is it just, you're just stuck with Harbaugh because you're not going to find a better coach at Michigan? Because I don't know that they're going to beat Ohio State this year, and that'd be what, 0-5 now against the Buckeyes? And if you can't beat them without Urban Meyer, when can you beat them?
Yeah, Dustin, I used to think the worst situation in a coaching realm was when you were going after a coach and there was just nobody there who was viable. Like Michigan was in when Brady Hoke was their best answer because Harbaugh wasn't available. I now think the worst situation you can be in is the situation they're in now, where you have an icon in the program, a guy who's not bad enough to fire, a guy who loves living in Ann Arbor, taking his kids to school, having his dad around the facility, and you can't get where you thought he'd get you, and you're paying him to get you there. I just don't know how they fix this. I don't know how Jim walks away and saves face. I don't know how Michigan pressures him to leave. And I just don't see, and I would have to say, nothing has ever surprised me more in football than his failure to come in there and build an offensive line find a tailback and find a quarterback, because that's his specialty. You know, that's what he did at Stanford. It's not like this guy can't coach either. I mean, he came into Stanford when they were terrible, and he toppled the USC monster. He went into the NFL when the 49ers were not very good, and he did what he did there, and you can't dispute that he knew what he was doing there. I just do not understand why they have not taken off. Now, if the defense would have been 18 inches better, two, 3 years ago in Ohio Stadium, would that have changed everything? I don't know. But it's just a mystery to me why he's not getting it done, and it's a bigger mystery to me how in the world they get out of it.
Bruce, last thing on the – we'll move on from the Buckeyes. We want your take on the Browns as well. Obviously,
yeah,
there was a ton of excitement coming into the season, and now everybody's bummed out. The team's making excuses. They're getting angry about things that don't seem important. And they're 2-4 about to face the Patriots, where they were 2-touchdown underdog. What do you think of where the Browns are right now, and how much faith do you have in them being able to turn this around?
Well, I think they talk too much in the offseason. I never like that for a team that hasn't proven anything. It's not fatal, but I think it raises the hackles of your opponents, and we've seen that with the reaction of the Titans and the reaction of, you know, the Rams when they beat the Browns. I love Baker tangibly. I love his accuracy, although he struggled with that. He's going through his sophomore stuff, and that's normal. People figure out a way to beat you. Now he's got to counter that. But I guess what Chris and I have talked about on our podcast is that Baker spends too much time on things that don't have anything to do with winning. He doesn't need to punch down at Colin Cowherd. He doesn't need to answer every critic. He doesn't need to talk about Rex Ryan. He doesn't need to do a lot of the things that he does. And he can say, you know, that's who I am. And okay, you don't have to be that guy anymore. You know, like, you don't have to be that guy. Like, you're not the walk-on anymore. You're not right. The guy people doubted. You're the number one overall pick, and you're the Heisman Trophy winner. You've arrived. You've made it. Don't be Draymond Green. Don't be telling me all the 23 guys who were taken ahead of you in the NBA draft every year, Draymond. And Baker, don't be always worrying about every little thing somebody says. You don't see Drew Brees doing it. You don't see Brady doing it. You don't see Rodgers. Well, you do see Rodgers doing it, but he's so great it really doesn't matter. But I just think Baker spends too much time on that. He's the leader of the team. Guys follow his lead. And to me, they're not good enough to spend any time on anything other than winning.
Totally agree. And, you know, I said this from day one.
Not complaining about
referees.
When
you win, you can say what you want, and no one's going to care, and you can stick it to everybody else. But when you lose, boy, there's a lot of people that are going to be coming for you, and that's what's happening right now. And so you can't be mad about it because you created the storm. And now you got to kind of make that bed that you you got to sleep in that bed that you made, and they don't like it. And so it's hard for me to feel bad for anybody. I mean, you've made the bed. So go to bed, you know?
Yeah, but the adults in the room needed to stop that before it got where it got.
Yeah.
And John Dorsey's been there. Freddie Kitchens been around the NFL a long time. I know he's a rookie coach, but he's been around. He knows better. To allow that kind of Philadelphia Eagles super team talk to, you know, fester over the summer was a mistake of leadership at the top and needed to be addressed. Now, all that said, guys, I expect him to win Sunday. I really do. And if you say it's not really because of any matchup or anything, it's just because it's the NFL. And when you play bad, you usually come back and play really great. And the Patriots, we think they're going undefeated. I don't. They're probably going to be 13-3. They got to lose three somewhere. So it wouldn't surprise me.
Bruce, I think they can win too. I'm not predicting it, just not yet. Maybe after.
Yeah, I mean, there's no X's and O's, Saturday, as you say, but, that points to the win.
But right now, I think they can win. But there's nothing tangible. There's nothing that you look at now and say, right, Adam? I mean,
there's nothing tangible you can point to pick a Browns win.
Yeah.
Beyond what you say, it's football. You don't know.
Yeah, it's the NFL. I mean, at Ohio State, you go into every season knowing you're going to win 9 or 10.
Right.
In the NFL, you go into every season, you don't know if you're going to win any. I mean, you theoretically you do, but they're pros on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and you let down, they'll beat you. And, I mean, if the Browns could beat them in the Mangini era, when Brady was younger, they could certainly beat them now.
Bruce, tell us about the podcast you're doing with Chris.
Yeah, we do a podcast 3 times a week. We'll do an immediate reaction podcast after the Wisconsin game. It's the Spielman and Hooley podcast, where we are a little bit more free than a typical radio format, where we talk a lot of football, a lot of Buckeyes and Browns, but we also talk, you know, our fact that we're both fathers, the fact that we're both husbands, and We incorporate our faith into the podcast, try to apply it to life. A lot of men are mystified by, some faith questions in their life, want to live a better life. And it's not the main focus of the podcast. We touch on it at the end. And it's easy to find on any podcast platform, iTunes, Google, Android, or if you aren't a podcast person, you can go to SpielmanandHooley.com and you'll see it right there at the top of the page. And we'd love for people to give it a listen.
There you go.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Always glad to have you on, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Bruce, we appreciate it, man.
To you guys.
Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.